During these difficult times, we understand how important it is to stay healthy and safe. With so many of us confined to our homes and not being able to work, we feel the financial burden more than ever. Many folks lost their jobs and businesses. Others were furloughed, and some are working from home at reduced pay. Keeping up with your bills is not easy under these circumstances. If you have credit card debt and cannot keep up with your monthly payments, we at Debt Fix Pros are here to help. Give us a call to see how we can reduce your interest rates and lower your monthly payments. Protect your credit and let us help you find a solution that fits your needs. We, your friends at Debt Fix Pros, are here to help. Let us take care of your credit card debt so you can focus on what is really important. Call for a free phone consultation at 1-800-539-9460. That's 1-800-539-9460. 1-800-539-9460. United we stand. 1-800-539-9460.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's our 26th year bringing you Into Tomorrow, this episode for the weekend of Friday, June 25th. 2021, as the announcer dude said, I am Dave Graveline.
I am Chris Graveline, and let me interrupt you and say that your voice, to me, sounds a lot better this week even than it did last week, so
good.
You're doing well.
Well, we're making progress, but I gotta say, this just in, vocal therapy is weird. My first thought was, I've been in broadcasting for 100 years. Well, it feels like it anyway. So why would I need to learn how to speak? Well, my voice therapy specialist, Desiree, has been showing me some very helpful exercises, even though they're strange and weird, and I'm almost having to learn to breathe correctly all over again. But she's great at Memorial Rehab Institute in Miramar, Florida, and I feel like if I can get this right, she had me hum. That's easy, right? Hum. Okay, now do it through a straw into a glass of water. I couldn't do it. I dare you to do that. No, see, I should have brought in a glass of water and a straw. I couldn't do it. I mean, eventually I did. She said, all right, let's forget the hum. Let's go to a sigh. So just...
That I can do. I can do a sigh.
Yeah, you sigh every 10 seconds. But so I did that, and it kind of worked, but I found that I was doing weird things with my breath. Anyway, we are coming to you from the Dexcom G6 Studios, the only continuous glucose monitor FDA permitted for kids ages 2 years and up. Visit DEXCOM.com. And of course, we've got to get to our normal tech news and commentary. Big Microsoft announcements this week.
Yeah, this past Thursday, Microsoft held their highly anticipated Windows event. They were expected to unveil a new version of Windows, and in my opinion, they didn't disappoint. The product they announced is an entirely new version of Windows that they say will be available later this year.
And because we want to get this question up front and out of the way, you can use the Microsoft PC Health Check app to see if your current PC meets the requirement to run Windows 11. And if so, you can get a free upgrade when it rolls out. So stay tuned. We'll tell you more about that, too. But some of the cool things in Windows 11.
Yeah, and of course, being the tech historian, one of the, my first takeaways from this was at the very beginning when they mentioned that Windows has been around for 35 years already.
Wow.
It's hard to think about that.
That's almost as old as me.
Right.
In this case, they called it the Windows that brings you closer to the things you love. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of new stuff, including, all new themes. The start menu is now in the center of the taskbar instead of, those of us who have been using Windows for 35 years.
Well, why would it be in the center?
Well, I don't know, because it makes you the center of everything, I guess.
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. It's a cloud-powered. So you can pick up where you left off on other devices. Now, that is interesting.
Yeah, especially when you use things like OneDrive or the cloud services like Word and those kind of things. You turn off, you're working on a document on your phone, you pick it up on your laptop right where you were.
Yeah, before. And then go to the desktop and pick up where you left off on your laptop or something. Clever.
And then those Windows updates that we all love so much.
Not.
Yeah, they're saying they're now 40% smaller and they can happen in the background.
Really?
Which hopefully is a big thing.
Yeah. Well, they're also claiming it's the most secure Windows yet, which, of course, we have yet to see, but we'll keep our eyes and fingers crossed.
Yeah. And in recent versions of Windows, they introduced the snap, where you can snap two or three windows.
Yeah.
They now have these snap layouts, where you can choose from a predetermined layout based on the size and resolution of your screen. And Windows will remember your preferred layout and then go to that each time.
That can be handy, I think, for a lot of folks. You can now have multiple desktops. That's probably one of the most interesting things, each with a different wallpaper and set of apps.
Yeah, that's big for you and me, because I think we both have about 600 icons on our desktop.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
They're now integrating Teams directly into Windows, so you can connect to people with a text, voice, and a video call with just a couple of clicks. And of course, that probably means the end for Skype, which Microsoft owns.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in their case, it would be better in the long run, but they just migrate all the Skypers over. I haven't used Skype in years anyway, but Windows widgets also, they say new personalized feed powered by AI, artificial intelligence, curated content, news, pictures, weather, calendar. You can rearrange and size all these widgets for whatever you prefer.
Yeah, they've redesigned Windows to work with or without a keyboard, so they've added gestures for touchscreen devices. They say they're the same gestures that you're used to using on a trackpad, so you don't have to relearn anything. They've enabled haptic feedback, especially for handheld devices, the tablets, when you're using a stylus or the keyboard. Mm-hmm. They have a new on-screen touch keyboard similar to the ones on your mobile devices. You can swipe to type. I know you like doing the swipe typing.
I do.
They also have emoji and voice typing that can automatically punctuate for you.
Oh, like that, too. That saves time. Big change with Microsoft Store. They say they've rebuilt the Microsoft Store from the ground up. Android apps, I'm loving this, will work with Windows 11.
Which means you'll be able to get the Into Tomorrow app for Windows soon.
That's true. It'll be just automatic. Developers can use their own payment systems if they want. There's a big swipe at Apple. Whoa, good for them. It's like, hey, Apple, take that.
Uh-huh. Well, another big swipe, developers can be in the store with their own, what they call commerce engine, and Microsoft gets zero cut of the apps.
Wow. Okay. Well, they're not being greedy for a change. They said a lot of improvements in gaming with the upcoming Windows 11. 100+ games in Game Pass.
Yeah, it's got the auto HDR, which means the graphics in games look dramatically better. And it's got direct storage API, which means that the games can load directly to the graphics card, which speeds things up a lot. Because if you're into gaming, you know speed and performance is very important.
Oh, of course. Latency, lag time gets you killed in a game.
Yeah.
So you got to watch for those. Of course, we're going to have a lot more info even on next week's show.
Yeah, so we're going to go into more depth into some of these announcements. So you want to be sure to stay tuned for that. We'll have my team put a bunch of stuff together, and we'll bring you some really cool things on this new version of Windows.
There you go. And of course, you can always visit us anytime for all kinds of updates when you hit us up at our website, where when you're there, you can sign up for our free podcasts and our tech newsletter, among other things. Where do they go?
IntoTomorrow.com.
So did you go nuts with the Prime Days? It was really 2 days. They lie and say Prime Day, but it's 2 days.
I wouldn't say I went nuts.
But you ordered stuff?
I'm nuts anyway.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And I'm nuts from ordering from them. That's what makes me nuts.
Mm-hmm. So you did order some stuff. Was it considerably less expensive? And was it stuff you needed or just wanted or not even either of the above?
It was replacing a broken Amazon device with a new Amazon device.
Oh, that's great.
That'll probably break by the next Prime Day, which is when I'll buy the next one on sale.
So built-in obsolescence, right? Yeah. Built-in obsolescence from Amazon just gets you to buy more stuff from them.
Yeah,
so this was no doubt an Echo speaker or something, right?
Now, in Amazon's defense, not that I would ever say that. I'm replacing a first-generation Echo with now a fourth-generation Echo. So I guess it lasted a few generations.
Oh, jeez.
But she stopped listening to me.
just like your ex-wife?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you should be used to that.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal. So, you didn't go completely nuts. All right.
So if you've ever wondered how astronauts do laundry in space, they don't.
come on, let's face it. What do most people wonder about how astronauts do something in space?
This is what keeps me up at night, these kind of thoughts.
Yeah, but come on. Everybody wonders about the bathroom.
Yeah.
In space.
Well, there's a series of hoses and vacuums.
So but anyway, laundry, I guess, would be another issue.
Back to the laundry. They wear their underwear, gym clothes, and everything else until they can't take the filth and stink anymore, and then they just throw them out.
Oh, Really?
Yes.
They don't do laundry?
They don't. NASA, of course, wants to change that. If not at the International Space Station, then on the Moon and Mars. And they want to stop throwing away tons of dirty clothes every year, stuffing them in the trash to burn up in the atmosphere aboard discarded cargo ships.
So, is that what they say happens?
That's apparently what they do.
So they got stinky underwear and stuff just burning up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Falling to Earth.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah. So NASA has teamed up with Procter & Gamble to figure out how to best clean astronauts' clothes in space. In its initial experiment, Procter & Gamble will send up detergent custom-made for space in December so that scientists can see how the enzymes and other ingredients react to 6 months of weightlessness.
So how is detergent going to be custom-made for space?
I don't know. But then next May, stain removal pens and wipes will be delivered for testing by astronauts. At the same time, Procter & Gamble is also developing a washer and dryer combo that could operate on the Moon or even Mars using minimal amounts of water and detergent. They're saying such a machine could also prove useful in arid regions here on Earth.
Interesting.
Now, of course, one of the challenges they're facing is that they have to take whatever minimal amount of water they use to wash clothes in space, then they have to be able to recycle that water and turn it into drinking water, which is also what they do now with urine and sweat.
Yeah, that's true. Now, we've known that.
Yeah.
But, wow. But now water that they've used to clean their undies and other clothes... Right. Is also going to be
that's one of the challenges.
Water.
They're trying to figure out now how they can then recycle that water and turn it into drinking water after it's been used to wash their stinky underwear.
I would think they need to figure that out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would think so.
Before everything else gets figured out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get right up to that. Okay, hey, we got this. Okay, now we got to make it drinking water. Oh, that's much more difficult.
Yeah.
Well, now what do you do? Oh, my God. When the Chromecast debuted back in 2013, you remember that, of course. We talked a lot about it. It was a legitimate revolution, an incredibly cheap, incredibly simple gadget that let you send all the streaming video on your phone straight to your TV. How cool. But as Android Police reports, in the years since, Google has steadily lost ground in the set-top box market in pretty much every metric. The big winner at the moment is... indisputably, surprise, Amazon. They are kicking everyone's butt in the streaming war. Fire TV has tripled its market share in the last 6 years and is now tied with Roku.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just streaming.
That's true.
Walmart is now on the brink of losing its title as the nation's largest retailer.
What?
Amazon, which prevailed over the competition in 2020, is on its heels. Based on current estimates, Amazon, whose share of U.S. e-commerce increased to 39% in 2020, they say should surpass Walmart as the largest U.S. retailer as soon as next year. This is according to J.P. Morgan analysts. Amazon is one of the few retailers that benefited during the pandemic, obviously, because as physical stores temporarily closed, people stuck at home turned to Amazon to buy groceries, cleaning supplies, and more, and that doesn't seem to be dying down. Throughout 2020, the company gained a profit of $21.3 billion. That's with a B.
That's
their profit.
Their profit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Their total revenue amounted to more than $386 billion.
So they're, as we could relate as humans, their take-home...
Their take-home pay was $21.3 billion.
Oh, my gosh. Jeff Bezos is going to space.
Yeah, and should stay
there. Can he stay there?
Yeah, I hope so. We talked about it last week. I signed that petition.
Yeah, and it was up to, I don't know how many thousands of cents that have said, yeah, keep him there. Just keep him and his brother. Bring the brother home. I don't know if he's a problem or not, but keep him there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Speaking of space, it might have been a bit late out of the box for the space race, but China is making up for lost time. Three crew members have been sent to China's space station, which is not to be confused with the International Space Station. And, of course, we'll see what they might be able to accomplish, if anything, when they do that. And as Chris reminds us all the time on his This Week in Tech History, Sir Tim Berners-Lee is known as the father of the web. Well, he says he plans to auction off the source code that gave birth to the World Wide Web 30 years ago. Of course, the code for the WWW will be sold as an NFT. Now, you know what that is, right?
Non-fungible something.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, if you're not familiar, NFT stands for non-fungible token.
There you go. That's what it was.
They're units of data stored on blockchains. So maybe you want to bid on Sir Tim Berners-Lee's source code.
No.
as the father, not you, somebody else listening maybe that's got nothing, you know, money's not a problem, no object.
And speaking of Swift, you want to stay tuned later in the hour when we talk about it, because we're going to be talking about one of the most popular music players in history, former space rivals coming together, and then how Apple effectively created the smartphone industry.
Stay tuned into tomorrow. James calling in using the Ask Dave button. Thank you, James, on our site at intotomorrow.com.
I want to know about aluminum battery technology. I heard that a university in California says that aluminum battery technology is far better than any type of batteries we have now.
Well, James, it's just not around, and it may never be. So don't worry too much about it for the time being, at least. At the moment, that and graphene are nothing but possible technologies that may be used in a few decades. But for the moment, they're just the subject of academic papers.
Yeah, the biggest advantages of aluminum-ion batteries over lithium-ion batteries are weight. They're lighter, and aluminum is less likely to catch on fire violently and quickly the way lithium-ion batteries sometimes do. The last part of that is not a big deal in applications like phones, but it's a much bigger deal on modern planes, electric cars, and other uses that require much larger and much more dangerous batteries. Now, if you've heard about the Teslas that catch on fire every now and then and can't be put out for hours, this type of battery would be less prone to that problem. Also, all other hybrids and electric cars seem less prone to that too, so we wouldn't make Tesla our first option.
Yeah, true. Now, the downside of aluminum-ion batteries is that their shelf life would be much shorter. And in the real world, that's a problem for virtually all of the major applications that would benefit from this type of battery. Great question, James. I hope we helped you out with that answer. And if you weren't able to hear it all, or if you wanted to take notes, our show notes are there for you at intotomorrow.com.